It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
9:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on a Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris is on medical leave. Joining us right now, he is host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can check it out anywhere on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. My guy, Ross Tucker. What's up, Ross?
What up? How are you, Rob? It's been a minute.
It has been a minute, man. It's football season, though. You know, it's just know how it goes. We got to get the football expert for football season.
You know what? I feel bad sometimes, though, because it's like after you guys bring me on, what's your audience thinking the whole rest of the show or like the next week? It's like, you know, once you've had the best, what's it like having the rest?
See, it's a hard act to follow, Ross, and I'm glad he called you a football expert, not a food expert, because
your food takes a horrible.
Yeah,
man.
They're bad, man.
They're the worst.
Like what? Name one.
Well, we can go back to the peanut butter and jelly take. So we don't need a brick of peanut butter on there. It's either even or a little bit more jelly. It's got to be sweet.
Yeah, said nobody ever. It's 70-30 peanut butter to jelly.
By the way,
you don't even do jelly. You do strawberry jam or strawberry preserves. Everybody knows this, Jeremy.
Yeah, I'm white trash. It's that cheap grape jelly, and I'm smothering it all over there, so it doesn't matter. You can put jelly, jam, preserves. I'm eating it.
Sounds about right. You probably really like cake and pie, too, don't you?
Delicious.
Yeah. You look like a guy that loves cake and pie.
Hey, hold on. You were a fat guy. Don't give me this after getting out of football because you're leaner. I just started to get fat, so now I'm loving everything else. I'm diving into every food option I can get.
Ross Tucker joining us right now. Ross, real quick, I mean, we'll start off with the home team, the Baltimore Ravens. The last time we saw them, they were losing in the AFC Championship game at home. In your opinion, do they get back to that game and beyond in 2024?
Yeah, it's so funny because obviously I'm not a Ravens fan or anything like that. I don't work for the team. I'm still not over that game. I mean, I don't know what it's like for you and all the people listening. I thought the Ravens were probably the best team in the NFL last year. I really do. I thought they were fantastic. I'm still disappointed by their performance, and probably more than their performance, disappointed by their game plan and how they went about it in that game. I didn't feel like they played their game, but it's a new year. We're moving on. I think it'll be tough. I really do. I think, you know, my major concern at this point, I guess, would be their offensive line. You know, I mean, it's very interesting. They have a lot of faith in their ability to draft and in their young guys, because to move on from Morgan Moses, and obviously even Simpson played well for them, and Zeitler, yeah, that's some pretty reliable guys, and now you're going with more unproven guys. I guess the hope is by the end of the year, I mean, obviously they're on rookie contracts for the most part, so they're inexpensive. I get it. You can't pay everybody, but those guys really come along, and by the end of the year can be a solid offensive line. I thought the Ravens had a top 10 O-line last year, maybe even top 5. It's hard to look at what they have right now and say that's the case, but they might not be bad. They're just kind of unproven.
Ross, we're in the business of making predictions at times, and I know we had you on last year. I got a couple fans that want me to bring up that you didn't think the Ravens were going to make the playoffs last year, but we all have to take stands somewhere. And I'm not bringing this up to attack you about it. My stand this year is I don't think the Houston Texans are making the playoffs. Is there something that you see in a team that either you like or don't like this season?
Well, so first of all, everybody listening that's bringing it up, they're 1,000% right. It was a swing and a miss for me on the Ravens last year. I really had my doubts based on how they talked about the new offense.
Yep.
With Todd Monken and more throwing, less running for Lamar. I was very skeptical. I didn't really think that they had, you know, the edge rushers. I don't know what you guys did to give Clowney and Van Noy the fountain of youth, and obviously the offense worked. So I will eat that one. Now, I mean, I think I said they would be 9-7, but yeah, missed the playoffs. But that was a big L for me for sure. You know, I totally disagree as it relates to the Houston Texans. I would actually go the other way, Jeremy. If I had to make, I don't know if this is bold or not, I'll put the Houston Texans in the AFC Championship game. I think they take another step. You know, I think Stroud is that good. They'll have a healthy Tank Dell, hopefully. They got Stephon Diggs. I think they're even better on the O-line. Defensively, to bring in Danielle Hunter, I think, is an upgrade as an edge rusher. And you know what I think else, too? They really believe in Stroud. I mean, I was on the field before the game when they played the Ravens last year in the divisional round, and I had a player, I don't know if he wants me to say this publicly or not, say that he thinks Stroud could be the best ever. And this is like a guy that's been around for a while. And he had no reason to just tell me that, right? And then even the coaches were really, really raving about him. And why I bring that up is because I was in New England with Brady, and you expect to win every game. Like, you got the guy, right? And I've been places with good quarterbacks. I've been places with average. I've been places below average. I think the psychology for the Texans of having Stroud, I think those guys believe they're going to go to the Super Bowl and win it. I really think that they think he's that good. And because of that, I think they get to the AFC Championship game. I think they also benefit from their division. AFC North is rough. I mean, AFC North is the toughest division in football. I think they'll beat each other up a little bit. I believe the AFC East might be second, but the Patriots are just so bad. Mm-hmm. But they've got three legit playoff caliber teams. So I think there's a pretty good chance that the Texans are the one or the two seed, along with Kansas City, which gives them a great chance to get to the conference championship game. So basically, whether it's cake and pie, peanut butter and jelly, or the Houston Texans, you're like 0-5. You're
winning hold on. So far, we got to wait and see how the season goes before the Houston Texans. I mean, you're putting them in the AFC Championship. They were 1 yard away from missing the playoffs last year. Now they have a much tougher schedule. Indy's healthy. Jacksonville's healthy. I'm not going to buy into Tennessee just yet, but I think that's a tougher division than people think it is.
Maybe. We'll see. I think Jacksonville and Indy are still probably 500 ball clubs in my mind. I think the Texans have a pretty good chance to win 11 or 12.
Cool.
All right, Ross, you got to tell me all about it. I was checking this out online, myfrontpagestory.com.
Well, first of all, evidently a lot of people get married in September and October. Those are the two most popular months for weddings, which I'll never understand. I think it sets a really bad tone for your relationship that you just totally acquiesce to your partner and allow her to force you to get married during football season.
I got married in October, Ross.
This is there, fellas.
I got married in October.
Of course you did. Of course you did. That doesn't surprise me at all. Gosh, Jeremy, can you get one win on the whole radio hit?
Hey, man.
For 10 minutes, you can't get one win. You're just taking L's.
I won when I got married in October. So it's the only win I have.
Are you guys? How long have you been married?
Here's the date: 10/2/10. So 14 years now.
Yeah, I highly doubt you guys make it to 15. But if you want to have a chance to make it to 15, go to myfrontpagestory.com. It is by far the best gift I've ever seen for a loved one. Do it now for your anniversary, Jeremy. Actually, you know what? That'll be perfect. That'll be, oh, no, this is 14 years, but whatever. Still do it anyway. MyFrontPageStory.com. You have no other good idea for your anniversary gift. You're going to take her to go, you're going to take her to Chick-fil-A. Nothing wrong with Chick-fil-A, but do something a little bit classier this year, Jeremy. MyFrontPageStory.com. MyFrontPageStory.com. And for everybody else, don't be like Jeremy. Get a win in your life. Do something right. MyFrontPageStory.com.
I'm going to tweet it out.
Ross Tucker, you are the man. Look forward to talking to you more during the football season.
Always great talking with you guys, especially when Jeremy's just eating L's the whole time.
I love Ross, man. Now we can talk about, is he still there? So we can talk bad about him, or did he hang up? No.
Jeremy Kahn's Daily Line at 9:30, but on the other side, we'll take a caring look at the American League playoff race on The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
9:17 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Jeremy, the American League playoff picture, a lot of Oriole fans are getting a little nervous right now. They're 1.5 games behind the New York Yankees, and if you look at the wild card standings, they're 2 games up on the Minnesota Twins. What are your thoughts on it? They won 4 out of the last 10. Your thoughts on the Orioles not making the playoffs at all?
It'd be a tough pill to swallow, especially with all the things that, the fan base would go nuts. I don't see that. I don't think it's going to happen. When you start looking at some of the things, like there's a lot of similarities between the Braves and Orioles right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
With all the injuries they've had, I think the Braves have been a bit more severe, but again, to each their own and what they see. And when you lose the guys, if the Orioles can weather this storm and get in the postseason, it'll be very interesting to see who they can get back.
Mm-hmm.
And if those guys can be ready for the postseason, like this is something we talk about. If the Braves made the postseason, they don't know if they'd have Austin Riley when it starts, or if they'd have to wait some time. But then again, you also have to ramp up. Like, you know, we hear about guys that are going to play and they miss their spring training. Coming off an injury and just getting thrown back out there, I don't think is what you want in the postseason. You want to see that your guys are ready to play and playing well. But it is a scary proposition that it could happen. I just don't see it.
The playoff picture right now as it stands, just for those of you who do not know, of course, the Yankees, you know this, are the leading American League East. The Guardians are now just 2 games up on the Twins. We talk about how great the Guardians are. They're just 2 games up. And the Astros are 5.5 games up on the Seattle Mariners. Their manager, Scott Service, was fired yesterday. I still think when it's all said and done, the Yankees and the Orioles are going to the playoffs. I think the Guardians and the Twins are going to the playoffs, and absolutely we know Houston's going to the playoffs, right?
Yes.
That's 2 more teams left. That's 2 teams left. 7 teams go to the playoffs. I don't know who the others are. I think Kansas City could go. They're right now in the wild card. They're tied with the Twins. The Red Sox 3.5 back. The Rays are 7 back, and the Mariners are 7.5 back. Are the Rays and the Mariners so far back, too far back, to leapfrog either the Red Sox or the Royals?
The Rays and I think they're too far back. There's too many teams that you have to jump, and you're not playing them. You know, like if you have a 4-game set or a 3-game set, and you go 3-0 in the or 3-1 in the 4-game set. You're gaining ground. You're forcing to gain ground. Now you're relying on other teams to get it done. I just think this late in the season, it's not impossible. I do think Boston has a shot to get in there. Minnesota's been hitting the hell out of the baseball recently. You've talked about the resurgence of Kansas City after the All-Star break. Bobby Witt turned into freaking Ted Williams. And you know what's odd about this, Rob? I guess because the Orioles have been in the playoff picture and been in first place for most of the year, I haven't even looked at the other teams. Like, I know the Astros. We've talked about Astros, Guardians, Yankees. Those are the teams that you consider, like, okay, Can you get past them? Can you beat them in a 7-game set? I didn't even start looking at these other teams and who was going to be in it. And in fact, Seattle getting their ass handed to them by the Dodgers and who else? I think Boston did the same thing to them. That really is what knocked them out, and it's one of the reasons why Scott Service got fired. Mm-hmm. They have one of the worst OPS as a team in baseball. And just to let you know how bad their OPS is, Randy Arozarena had the lowest OPS on the Tampa Bay Rays. When he got traded to the Mariners, he had the highest OPS on that team.
Yeah.
It's just, it's ridiculous there. So I can't see them. And again, with Tampa, Tampa's been sneak, like, it's their pitching. And surprisingly enough, they started to get healthy. Their pitching keeps them in games. If this was like a, if they were in the same boat as the Red Sox, I would say being 3.5 out, I could see it happening. It's 7 games is a lot to make up in this short period of time.
For who?
For Tampa.
Tampa doesn't have to make up 7. They're going to make up 4.5.
What are you talking about? No, because.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's 7 back of the Royals.
So they'd have to, and they're 7 back of Minnesota. Minnesota and Kansas City have the same record.
Right.
So, and I guess Kansas City has a tiebreaker season-wise so far. I don't know how many games they played against each other. But, you know, like I brought this up in the NL, and I think I was, I don't want to say I was ahead of this, but I was going, I'm not sure Atlanta's going to make it. And this was before the Austin Riley injury and some of the other, now they got Michael Harris back. But it's like, hey, Michael Harris is back. Now Austin Riley's gone. It's like, how do you keep picking up the pieces and trying to win these games? And plus, it's not like their division's easy. They're chasing the Phillies and all these other teams in the National League. It's a logjam.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I think the playoffs are set. I think we know who the best 7 teams are in the American League. If you're telling me, I'm glad you said that. If you're telling me that 7 games is too much to overcome with the Royals, then that means 9 games is too much to overcome with the Orioles.
They have no shot at that.
They have no shot.
Like, to me, the Orioles would have to fall apart.
Right. How do the Orioles go now? Now, 3.5, they're 5.5 up on Boston Red Sox, and I don't think Boston can make that up. So you're not. And do the Orioles back into the playoffs? Hopefully not. But I think at this point right now, just like the caller who makes so much sense, the only thing he said is it's September already, when it's really not. His point is, it's late in the season. It's late in the season for those teams trying to catch the Orioles, too.
Well, I mean, the other part of this, Rob, is like, so you look at the Yankees, they're 75-53. The Orioles are 74-55.
Right.
Are the Yankees concerned they're going to miss the playoffs? I know somebody's going to win the division, right?
Right.
But, I think it's more likely the Orioles win the division than it,
not
than it is
the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you talk about the teams that could, okay, the Orioles have won 4 out of the last 10. Well, those teams on the outside looking in, 6 out of the last 10, 5 out of the last 10, 2 out of the last 10. That's not making up a lot of ground.
No.
So am I telling you I think the Orioles are locked to go to the World Series? No, I'm not. But I'm not telling you that they're not trouble when the playoffs begin, because we all got to sit back and see who's going to be healthy. And in the short series, keep in mind, I think Corbin Burns right now is – that's the wild card to me. Corbin Burns has got to fix it. Whatever's going on with him, man, he's got to fix it, Jeremy.
Yeah, and, you know, like we brought this up. So it's interesting. I talked to national baseball writer last night, and his take was Corbin Burns is so good. His last start out, giving up 8 runs, you know he's going to come back and have a great start.
Uh-huh.
And I think conventional wisdom would say that's usually what happens with the ace of your staff.
Mm-hmm.
But has there been a trend with him with the gave up 3 runs, gave up 4 runs, gave up 8 runs? And in this past game, not that it was like incredibly terrible, the bats did nothing. They didn't even give him a chance. And then obviously it opened up a little bit later in that game and the Orioles weren't coming back. So can they pick themselves up? And I think the damning part of that is you're used to Corbin Burns being the guy that, or he should be the guy that stops the bleeding. And then if it wasn't him, it was going to be Grayson. And if it wasn't Grayson, you're hoping it's going to be Eflin. Well, they ain't here right now. I think Eflin comes back sooner. He said his shoulder was feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think we get to see Grayson, which he said this strain of his, it's his lat, right?
Right.
That this strain of his lat wasn't as bad as the last one he had. So I think there's a lot of hope, but you need to get these guys back and you need to make sure that they're baseball ready.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You know, you're right. You got to make sure they're baseball ready. and that's huge for us right now. The final encore of the week for Ben Hall at 9:45. On the other side, Jeremy Collins at Daily Line.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the college football games that start tomorrow, who I like and where you should go. Got a couple of WNBA plays. And as always, we'll throw out some baseball stuff for you. I'll tell you how I did yesterday. Some really tough losses. Man, I hate the Cubs. That's all I got to say. We'll tell you where to place your bets in the Daily Line. That's coming up next here on The Fan. All right, another interesting day in the world of gambling, at least for me. Let me throw out what I had yesterday just so everybody can see how it went. And a little frustrating. I had the under in the Pirates Reds, which, again, I'll take it. I got a little lucky. It was 6-0. I don't know what happened to Nick Lodolo. I gave out a play on the national show I was doing yesterday saying I would parlay the Reds under and Nick Lodolo over strikeouts. You would have won that bet. But Nick Lodolo was just mowing him down. He ended up with 9 strikeouts. He comes out and, I think it was the 5th inning, Ben, or 6th inning, and just gives up 5 runs. He can't get an out. And you're going, what the hell happened? Baseball is a weird sport that you can just be so dominant and then come out the next inning, and it's like walk, single, double, walk. Weird things happen. But yep, that's a game I won. So, I also had the Brewers-Cardinals under. That hit. I gave out Juan Soto's hits, runs, and RBIs over 1.5. He scored. Of course, he's the number one hitter on the slate, and he scores 1 run, so I lose that bet. And then I also lost the Cubs-Tigers, which that's the one that pissed me off. Great spot. Great weather spot. And you know what usually happens. It's hard to hit home runs. The wind must have died down when Miguel Amaya stepped to the plate, 205 hitter, and he hits a goddamn grand slam. And that's in the 2nd inning. So, like, this is what the Cubs do. They tease you. They keep it.
Like going to a strip club.
Yeah. Like, hey, it's 6-0. You got 2 more break points, right? Because the total was 8. And then they get to 7. And I'm like, all right, let's see what happens here. And then here's another 3 spot for you in the late innings. They keep you entertained just enough to think you're in it to crush your spirits in the last inning or last 2 innings. So, yeah, I'm frustrated about that. I did hit on the A's and Rays. And I also missed on the Braves and Phillies. Kind of an interesting day yesterday. Now, let's look at today and even tomorrow. I want to start with some college football stuff. And Ben, you can chime in if you have anything too, because I know Ben's putting out plays as well, and he's working with me on my site. So I like a lot. I like Georgia Tech plus the points against Florida State. Georgia Tech plus the points against Florida State. The only thing I don't like about this is I'm not getting the best number. It opened up at 13.5. And now it's 10.5. I don't know that it's going to get below 10. The rambling wreck of Georgia Tech, they've got some ball players. I'm not a big believer in DJ. I'm not going to try to say Ugalele. I'll butcher that thing left and right. I'm not a big believer in him. And, you know, Ben and I were talking earlier. It's like he's more of a game manager. And you could see some things happening. There's Georgia Tech team I'm intrigued by.
Third school?
Yeah. Oregon State. He went to Oregon State where there's no pressure. You're not expected to win. Now he's going to Florida State. That team went undefeated last year and got left out of the playoffs. So frustrating. And I would say this, like, I don't like betting big spreads, but I think SMU just absolutely rolls tomorrow as well. I think they're a 25-point favorite. Wow. You see anything, Ben, that you like?
Yeah, I like the under in the Florida State game, and then I like SMU over 40.5 team total points. SMU should smoke Nevada. They were awful last year. They allowed over 40 in like 4 or 5 games. Uh-huh. And then the Florida State game, like you said, we talked about it earlier. Ugalele, through his career, has been a game manager. When he played with Dabo, there was a ton of hype. He's coming from Bosco. There's all this hype. Struggles and is quiet, and he's handing the ball off to Shipley and stuff like that. Then he goes to Oregon State last year, where he's with Damian Martinez, one of the best running backs in the country now at Miami, handing the ball off, stuff like that. Florida State's offense is going to do the same thing. They got one of the best offensive lines in college football. They're going to hand the ball off, and they're going to try to not let him put the game in his hands. And I think that'll run some clock. And the new college football rules that started last year, first downs, you don't stop the clock anymore until two minute warning in the first half now, because there's a new 2-minute warning, and in the second half. So the clock's not stopping like it used to. The clock's going to run. Georgia Tech, and you talked about the number moving 3 points, which is crazy. Georgia Tech is taking steps forward in their football program. They're not the old Georgia Tech where they're going to get smoked every week. I think they'll keep this competitive, and because it's competitive, neither team will be running away. I think it'll be slow game.
I think it'll be competitive, not so much because Georgia Tech is taking so many steps forward. I think they're both taking steps in the opposite direction and meeting one another in the middle. I think Florida State takes a step back.
Florida State hit the hell out of the transfer portal, but they lost a lot last year.
They lost
a lot.
Let me explain something to you about the South, about Georgia. Georgia Tech will never sustain that because all those kids are going to go to Georgia.
No, absolutely. But they did. Did you see the tackle they got? They got a 5-star tackle the other day, and it was purely NIL. But when is Georgia Tech getting 5-star left tackles? Like, that's not normal.
I remember when they had Calvin Johnson, and I felt so effing bad for him because he's there, and then they go to the triple option. It's like, what the hell? Can't do that to him. But, like, I am interested in Georgia Tech's quarterback. Not a lot of plays for this weekend, and there are, like, leading into it over this next week. You're going to see a lot of teams playing some cupcake games, and I don't mean that to dismiss the Division II and the lower schools that you're going to see them play when they're taking their cash grab, pick up the W, and move on. You'll have to look around to see if you can find lines on some of those games, but some of them upper 40s and 30s. It's just I tend to stay away from it unless I feel like I have a grip. The one thing I used to do when Jim Tressel was coaching Ohio State and he'd play Youngstown State,
right,
I would take Youngstown plus the points because he did not like running the score up on his former team. There are little things that you can find throughout the year to use, but college football is going to be a blast this year. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, Ben, we're going to have a ton of stuff out to kind of break this stuff down. So that's why I love that he's actually here. And with tonight, WNBA, I'll tell you what I'm intrigued by. I'm intrigued by Phoenix on the road at Atlanta. I'm going to dive into this more after we get off the air. Washington at LA is probably my favorite play tonight, over 161.5. And I like Las Vegas to knock off Minnesota. They're -2.5. The only thing that gives me pause a little bit is that taking these small favorites on the road sometimes can be frustrating because we know who the better teams are. But Phoenix has been up and down this year. Las Vegas, to me, is the best team in the league when they want to be. So I think they should handle Minnesota.
I think it's got some internal problems.
Very well could.
They
so
do.
I do like. So here's what I like. I love the Reds today. We talked about this yesterday. Left-handed pitchers against the Pirates. I have a buddy that was betting every single starting pitcher's over K's of whoever played Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not telling you he won every game. They almost did. I mean, they strike out so much. They strike out getting out of the dugout. I think they're warming up over there in the on-deck circle, and they're striking out. It's just insane, man, how bad they are. And the same thing applies with the Pirates against left-handed pitching. I don't know why it's that way. I'm going to take Andrew Abbott over his strikeouts today. Nick Lodolo struck out 9 yesterday in a bad start. I also like Milwaukee and Oakland to go under their posted total. I believe it's 7.5. I want to just make sure an update. Yeah, 7.5. That's J.P. Sears, who I can't believe I'm saying this. The Oakland A's have a couple of pitchers that have kept them in games. Their offense, they do hit some home runs. They've got some power. But they strike out a lot, too. They leave a lot of guys on base. But I like the way J.P. Sears has been pitching. He's gone up against Milwaukee. That's Aaron Civale, the other Rays pitcher that got traded. And he's pitched much better in Milwaukee. He hasn't been great, I don't think. But he's pitched much better in Milwaukee, and I think they can slow down that A's lineup. I like the under of 7.5 there. One thing to point out that I think is interesting with the weather today, here's what it supports. A Yankees over, a Diamondbacks over, a Padres under, a Dodgers under are the leans that I'm getting today from the weather. I think Arizona and Boston going over is a great play. It's a high total at 9.5. Weather supports it greatly. And the Diamondbacks, I know Ketel Marte's not playing there. I love the way Corbin Carroll's been swinging the bat. Both of these teams are very, betty, betty sneaky on the base pass. So something for you to keep your eye on. I am going to look at the Orioles and Astros to go over that 8.5. I think the Orioles bats show up against Hunter Brown. Can't believe I'm saying that. But more importantly, I know Cade Povich had a good start last time. I don't know this is a team that you want to be facing right now. Hopefully he brings some of that into this game, but I would look at the over there. I have not made that an official play. The Yankees over is the one I wanted to talk about because I brought it up yesterday and saying, look, I'm fading it for various reasons. Or actually, it was 2 days ago. I talked about fading it for various reasons. Yesterday, I didn't go to it, even though I liked it, because it's scary to take unders in Yankees games when they're playing bad teams, because if they get out to a lead like they had when the game went over and they won, I think, 8-1, and we lost the under by a half a run, they got out to a 4-0 lead, Soto homer, Judge homer. Those things are expected a lot of times. And then a Juan Soto, what was it, a bases-clearing double. And then all of a sudden you blink and it's 7-0. And then, of course, the other team's not going to handle their pitching staff the same way. And what I'm saying about this today is Colorado is at New York. Colorado's one of the worst teams in baseball. Kyle Freeland is a soft-throwing lefty. I know he's outside of Coors, but he stinks. I do not like lefties against this Yankees team. The same way, like, conversely, I talk about the Orioles facing lefties. I don't like them when they face lefties. But it's an interesting play. It's the highest bet total of the day. More money coming in on the Yankees over at 8.5. I am not touching it, guys. I am not taking the play that everyone is on and betting it. I'm either betting against it or I'm not betting it at all. And that's usually how I do things. It doesn't mean I'm going to be right, but I'd rather not take those chances with being on 80% of the public on one play. It's a scary proposition because Vegas doesn't lose often. Texas Cleveland under looks interesting. I mean, I'm going to break down some more of these games and get into it. But for right now, the Reds play is my favorite play with the Andrew Abbott over K's. Washington and L.A. over 161.5 in the WNBA. And for tomorrow, Georgia Tech plus the 10.5. Like them a lot, so it'll be a top play for me tomorrow.
There you go. I'm just looking at next week, man. Next week, you got 12 o'clock, you got Clemson, Georgia, and Penn State, West Virginia at one time. Then you got another game I saw later that I wanted to see. Oh, you got Miami versus Florida.
What do you think of Miami? They we talked about the additions they made. I like the quarter bringing in Cam Ward. You bring up the running back, but it's still Mario Cristobal.
You got Notre Dame and Texas A&M playing the 7th. Man, I'm doing nothing that day. Then on Sunday, you got USC LSU. I'm doing nothing.
Rob, you don't do nothing every day.
I'm doing absolutely nothing. Ben has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Let's get this guy because we're not talking to O's for a while. Let's go out to the BQ. What's up?
Hello.
What's going on? Good morning.
I thought maybe Trippy was running through BQ.
No, it's Rashawn.
We were talking. Man. He said he's going out there to take over.
He don't let Trippy in BQ. But go ahead. What's up?
Trippy's scared to come out there, man. But that's another story. But, man, listen. Hey, man. I was going to bust your chops, man, about the Cubs.
Start. I'm ready to fight those sons of bitches, too, man.
I know. I know you're going to talk about that at 9:30, man. Yeah. But, man, y'all was talking about
that. Hold on, man. They gave up a grand slam to the 9-hole hitter when it's really difficult to hit home runs yesterday. Then Miguel Amaya, the 9-hole hitter in a grand slam in the second inning. And those sons of bitches, the Cubs, teased me all the way into the 7th inning to just say, you know what, we'll end it now. We'll end it a little early for you.
Could you
oh, man. See, I like this Jeremy, man. Like the violent, angry one, man, in the morning, man. You know? Like, you know, he's ready to beat people. Hey, Rob, why you let him beat that guy, man?
What guy?
He should. Down at the, y'all was talking about the opening segment, man.
Because friends don't let friends get locked up.
Man, he would have been out by now, got a little probation for judgment, cleaned up some trash in Middle River or something like that, man.
I'd have been listening to the radio show and said, this Rashawn guy sounds cool. I'm going to send you a message on social media so you can get me a job where you work. So you can watch me work.
Hey, Rashawn, guess what? Rashawn, you ran out of time, man. You got to go. Gotta go.
How did he run out of time with me screaming during it?
I'm just saying. You shouldn't have taken his bad stop.
Call back later is Larry in Pikesville. He didn't get in.
Yep, didn't get in.
Yeah, so it's funny too, man, when you start thinking about these things. As Rashawn texted me back afterwards and he's like, man, you stole all my damn time. I ain't calling in and bringing up anything to get you angry again. But he did post a really funny ass meme, so I'm giving that.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Let's go to Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. DGIF.
That's right, sir. That's why we had to get you in.
How you guys doing?
All right. How are you?
Good. Can the Orioles hope to get anywhere in the postseason with the current pitching rotation? Have a fantastic weekend, guys.
You too. I think they'll get in. Well, what they do when they get there is a different story.
Yeah, those bats better wake up if you're going to try to win with this group as your starting pitchers in the postseason. Ideally, again, you get back. You're hoping Corbin Burns is fine. And not that he's injured or anything. He just 3 games before this didn't look like himself. I think he was okay yesterday. But we'd like to see the strikeouts go up a little bit more. And when you look at it, Grayson Rodriguez and Zach Eflin, I think Eflin's back sooner than you guys think. That's just my opinion. I haven't heard anything, just reading some of his comments. But this is something where if you don't have those 3 guys for you, I'm not giving you a great shot at beating the Yankees or the Astros or even the Guardians for that matter.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, I mean, I don't think the question is getting in for them right now. It's surviving once they get in, advancing once they get in. That's the biggest question right now. Now it's time for you to find out what we learned today. What we learned today is National Find Your Inner Nerd Day. Let's give me something nerdy that you would do, Jeremy.
That I like? I mean, is comic books nerdy? I love the Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit. I love that stuff. I like those. I love movies. So anytime you get those long trilogy movies, I love that, as long as they're good. Nothing like the Fast and the Furious trash, but, you know, it's nerdy for me.
What, like, no, the Marvel and things like that be?
I think so. I think comic books kind of nerdy, but I think they're more accepted. I mean, they're the highest grossing movies.
Okay. I think in some ways, in some forms, I lack some social skills.
No, not you.
That's nerdy.
Yeah.
You think that's, what's something nerdy you do, Ben?
Oh, come on, Ben.
Look into sports stats, maybe. I do. Literally, my day is sports and SVU. I watch SVU. Season's coming out in
nerdy.
October. But
that's nerdy. The fact that you know when the season's coming out.
I'm a big fan.
That's nerdy. I mean, it's called Find Your Inner Nerd Day. We ain't judging.
Do you know, when do the Ravens start? Is that nerdy?
Yeah.
You know the Ravens start.
I mean, it's like you ask nerds that love like Star Wars and those things, and they'll go, well, you guys put on your favorite player's uniform and go out. Yeah, I ain't putting on some fake ass Darth Vader uniform and going out and watching a movie.
Well, like, yeah, that's also the thing about nerdy. Like, to them, sports nerds, like, yeah, we're nerds of sports. So it depends who it is.
They consider it kind of the same thing.
Also, today's National Cuban Sandwich Day. I don't eat pork anymore, but there is a turkey Cuban sandwich down in Tampa that I will be partaking of next week.
I love a good Cuban.
And the day is also National Sponge Cake Day. Either one of you guys like sponge cake?
It's all right. I don't dislike it.
I don't like
it. It's fine.
I'm not sure I've ever had it.
You're not sure you ever had it? Really? Mm. It's cool. It's cool. Some birthdays in sports today is Sonny Jurgensen. He celebrates his 90th birthday today.
Mm.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Sonny.
90 years old. Also, today is Julio Franco's birthday. He celebrates his 66th birthday. I was going to play a joke on you. I was going to say, Sonny Jurgensen and Julio Franco, sir.
I probably would have guessed Julio Franco. Old ass.
He's 66. Did he just retire 10 years ago?
Yeah. You know how goofy his batting stance was when I first started playing like baseball? Uh-huh. I started doing that. My dad's like, this ain't happening. Get that elbow right there.
Today is also Rick Smith's birthday. Remember him?
Love him. The Duncan Dutchman.
58 years old. Cortez Kennedy turns 56 today. You remember him, don't you?
Yep. Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah. Jeremy Schapp turns 55 today.
His dad was a dick.
Yes, that was his
Dick
name.
Chapp. That was his name, yes.
Raul Casanova, remember him?
Yes.
He turns 52 today. Rex Grossman, 44, and Jeremy Lin. Lin Sanity, he turns 36 today. You guys, Hugh Douglas and James Rowe, former wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, share a birthday today. Who's older, Hugh Douglas or James Rowe? Go, Jeremy.
I'm going to say Hugh Douglas.
Hugh Douglas.
James Rowe.
James Rowe. You don't know either one of them, are, do you?
I know Hugh Douglas. I don't. James Rowe, no.
All right, well, Hugh Douglas is 53, James Rowe 51. And stop the music for me for a second, please. Today, Kobe Bryant would have celebrated a birthday. My favorite basketball player of all time.
And you know how I feel because I hated him when he was playing.
Realized,
and then after he was done, I realized how much I loved him. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeremy. I love him. For the reasons that people hated him is why I loved him. You got to be a special dude to be that confident in your own skin. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, my doctor told me that my prostate exam was good. I was deeply touched. did you hear about the local? Did you hear about the local man that was addicted to brake fluid?
No.
He said he can stop anytime he wants. What about the guy, you know, my buddy was addicted to Tide detergent.
Uh-huh.
Proud to say he's clean now for several years.
This is the addiction round of the jokes.
Cop started crying while he was writing me a ticket. I asked him why. He said, it's a moving violation. I just love that I got the grunt. All right, let me give you one more here. I saw two huge black birds in my garden this morning, and they were stuck together. Turns out they were Velcros. And this isn't really a joke, but I do think this is funny. If you're lost in the woods, start talking loudly about politics. Somebody will come argue with you.
Yeah. How do they have Jelly Roll listed as a rapper singer now?
He's a
rapper now?
He was a rapper before he started singing. Did you know that? Jelly Roll.
You know he's going to host college, or he's going to be the college game day, like sound, the music.
Really?
Yeah. He's got a song that's going to be college football's ESPN song.
Ben Hall, hats off to you. What a great week plus, man. You did a great job. I hope they find you a permanent spot somewhere in this station. Seriously.
Who should they fire to put him in?
We'll talk about that later. Not, I mean, not on that show.
No.
I love you, but Joe ain't going nowhere, bro. But I love you.
Joe's too angry to go anywhere.
That's right. Vinny and Haney up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful weekend.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.